We begin the current daf Masechet Yevamos, daf Nun Hei. We begin on the bottom of daf Nun Dalam Beis, five lines up from the bottom of the Yamad, where the Gemara continues on a similar to discussion as it did on the previous daf. And that is, we had an introduction to a pasuk regarding a Chois Av or Chois Eim, one's father's or mother's sister, because we had been speaking about Hara, which was, that's the beginning stage of cohabitation. And the question was, why was it necessary to say it by a chais av, a chais aim, if all other arayas are learnt out from Nida? As we said with Akesha de Rabbi Yehuda, all the arayas are compared one to another, and since it already says Hara by Nida, why does it say by chais av, a chais aim? So that the Gemara said, actually it's coming to teach you regarding having relations with a behema, that Hara will be considered be with the behema, and that's because you learned that out where it was not necessary to say it by chais av, a chais aim, must be coming to teach regarding behema. So the Gemara asked, well, allude to it somewhere where it's at least in the same category. Behema, bestiality, is chiv misbezdin. A chais av, a chais aim is only chiv karas. Why is it alluded to it over there? And I think I'm going to say that's because it's already an extra pasuk that's making, we make drushes with that pasuk. So we add another drush over there to allude to hara by behema, which the Gemara explained, that's because it wasn't clear if a chais av and a chais aim would be only paternal sister or even maternal. And that is, it wasn't clear if you would learn it out from a chaisai, which would be both paternal or maternal, or deidasai, one's aunt, father's brother's sister, if that would be only paternal, where there it's only paternal. Hence, we weren't sure which one to compare a chais av and a chais aim to. And that's what we needed the pasuk, a redundant pasuk, to tell you that the Isser is not only paternally, but even maternally. Now, the Gemara continues with a similar discussion regarding another Erva, if that's only paternal or even maternal. As the Gemara says, V'hadit na'an, this that we learned in the Mishnah, that Tzadik Vav Meral. Now, this case is talking about a few different women. And as Rashi describes the case as follows, he says, there's Dina, who's the daughter of Leah and Yaakov. Now, then there's Yecheved, who shares the same mother, Leah, but from a different father, Chetzron. Then there's Sarah, who shares the same father, Chetzron, but from a different mother, Keturah. Then there's Rivka, who shares the same mother, Keturah, but from a different father, Bisuel. Then there's Milcah, who shares the same father, Bisuel, but from a different mother, Chana. Now, the case conceptualization begins with Reuben marrying Milcah. Then he goes overseas. And then, that's where the Mishnah, the Gemara quotes from the Mishnah, says, Amru loy mesa ishtocha. They said that your wife, Milcah, she passed away. So, Vinasa, he then went and married Rivka, who was achaisa meoviha, who was his first wife's sister, paternal sister. They had the same father, which was Besul, which you're allowed to marry achais ishtoy after his wife died, which he thought she died. He married her paternal sister. Then they came and they told him that Mesa, that his new wife, Rivka, that she died. So Vinasa, then he went and married Sarah, who was Achisa Me'ima, who was his second wife's maternal sister, which they shared the same mother, Keturah. Then they told him, Mesa, that his third wife, Sarah, passed away. Vinasa, he then married Yecheved, who was Achisa Me'avia, who was her paternal sister, because they shared the same father, Chetzron. Then they told him that Mesa, then his next wife, Yecheved, passed away. Vinasa, and then he married the fifth woman, Dina, who was Achisa Me'imo, who was his last wife's maternal sister, which they shared the same mother, Leah. Then they came and they told him, actually, it was wrong. They were all alive the whole time. That's where the case begins. So the Mishnah there says, Muta Birishaina. He's permitted to maintain his first wife, which was Milcah, which that's pretty obvious. He's allowed to marry more than one wife, and she's the original wife. And Ubishlishis, he's allowed to maintain his third wife, meaning Sarah. And the reason is because Rivka, who was her paternal sister, which was the second wife, her Kedushin, after he heard his first wife Milcah pass away, was not a Kedushin. And that means to say that that relationship was out of wedlock. And therefore, he's permitted in the third woman, Sarah, who is her sister. As we learn in the Mishnah on Daf Tzadik Zayin Amud Aleph, that you let him marry the woman that you had relations with out of wedlock. Because this second wife was a paternal sister of his first wife, and that was not obviously a Kedushin. Kedushin is not Taif, it's not Chais Ishtoy. He thought she was dead, but she was really alive. So the second one is not Kedushin, but that means the third one, who is the sister of the Anusa, is permitted. ubechamishes. And the fifth one, Dina, is also permitted to maintain as a wife. Because although she's the sister of Yecheved, who is the fourth one, but that's the same there also, that the relations he had with Yecheved was just one of out of wedlock, and it wasn't Kedushin. And the reason is because the third one, who is Sarah, who is her paternal sister, was a valid Kedushin. Again, because the second one was nothing. And therefore, he ends up staying with the first, the third, and the fifth. Upaitras Sarasayan, and that means to say that if this man who made all these errors when goes and dies, that then if the brothers go ahead and do chalitza to either the first, the third, or the fifth, that will exempt the co-wives because they're all valid wives, those three of them. Now, however, v'asa bishnia, he'll be forbidden in the second wife that he took because of the first wife, his wife Milcah, who is really alive. Hence, the second one was achais ishtoi, that's going to be forbidden. U'revius, and the fourth one is forbidden because of the third one, which we said is also a valid kedushin. V'ein bias achas mehen b'teres tzaras, and therefore those two, the second wife and the fourth wife, who they're not really his wives, obviously when he dies without children, if the brothers do chalitza or yibim to them, will not work for the rest because they're not really his wives. Now, Mishnah says if the case is a little bit different, v'im, if let's say in actuality the only one that really died was the first wife, and ba'al ha'shnia la'achas misas rishayna, then he ended up marrying the second woman, which was the wife, the paternal sister of his first wife, after the first wife had died. So then the case gets the other way around. Then muta b'shnei revias, so therefore now he's permitted the second one, which was a valid marriage, after his wife died, there's no isra chais ishta, it's only when she's still alive, u'brevias, and permitted in the fourth one, u'paitus tarasein, and therefore when he dies there are any children, those are the ones that would exempt the co-wives if you do yibim to them, but v'asa b'shlish v'chamishas, but that he'll be forbidden in his third and fifth wife, again because of the second and the fourth. If that's Kedushin, so then the next one over is always that sister. There's always one sister from one, and there's different combinations, paternally or maternally. But one thing that we see, and that's what the Gemara contains at the top of Nanayim and Alf, Alma, that we see, Achais Ishtar, his wife's sister, is Beimin Av, Beimin Eim Asuras, whether it's paternal or maternal, it's going to be forbidden. And that's because we see that the third woman, who is the maternal sister of the second one, and that is because the reason of the first part of the Mishnah that says that the second one's not his wife, that's why the third one's going to be permitted. But as we see in the Sefer, if the second one's Kedushin was a good Kedushin because the first one had really died, then you're forbidden in the third one. Now that's a maternal sister, and yet we still see that that's going to make an Issa Achais Ishtar, and that's why Kedushin Nakami Taifis. So you see that the Issa from that Mishnah later on that says of all those cases that Achais Ishtar is both paternally and maternally. And that the Gemara asks, Menolan, where do we know this, that the Issa Achais Ishtar is not only paternal, but even his wife's maternal sister? So that the Gemara says, as the discussion of the previous staff, Yalef Ma'achaisa, you would learn it out from one's own sister. Ma'achaisa Beimen Abbeimen Eim, just like the Isser of one's sister is both paternal and maternal. Afkan Beimen Abbeimen Eim, also over here, when it's one's wife's sister, is both paternal and maternal. But then the Gemara asks, Belaylef Midei Dasei, maybe learn that from one's aunt. Just like we know, as we explained in the previous stuff, that the Isser of one's aunt, meaning one's father's brother's wife, is only paternal brother, not maternal. Maybe also over here is also only a paternal wife's sister, meaning the wife's paternal sister, and not maternal. Like the same discussion we had regarding Achais Aviv, where it wasn't clear which one to compare it to. So the Gemara says, Mistaber Machais Havelel Meif, it makes more sense that from one sister, one should learn out the halachas of Achais Ishtar. And the reason is, Shekein Kroive Atzmoi, because one's wife's sister is one's own relative. In other words, that one's Achais Ishtar is considered one's own relative because it's because of oneself that it becomes forbidden, in contrast to one's father, where that would exclude, let's say, one's aunt, where his father's relative. Here, it's because of his own relationships, his wife, sister. Whereas, so that you would learn out Mikrevi Atzmai from your own relative, which is your sister, again, and not to learn from Deidasa, which is his father's relative, which obviously he's related to, but it's only through his father. Another Gemara says, no, other rabbi, to the contrary. Actually, you should learn out from your aunt, because you should learn out something that happens through marriage, which is what Achais Ishtar is. You're only forbidden in this woman because you married her sister. That should be learned from something that also happens through Kedushin, which is how one becomes forbidden in one's aunt, because his father's brother married this woman. So there again, it's not clear which one to learn from. So there the Gemara says, you're right, you can't learn out from Achoisoi. Ella me'ishas achyafin. The way we know that Achis ishtoi, one's wife's sister, is forbidden even maternally, we know it from one's brother's wife, which is not only paternally, but even maternally. The shekain davar dekedushin, because there you have both components being similar. Because both of them are through kedushin, and bekareve atzmai, and it's also through one's own relationship, not through one's father a generation before. Because here it's that his brother got married to this woman, and it's also his own relationship, it's his brother's wife, just like Achis ishtoi. So the Gemara says, okay, fine, that would be the source, but how do you know one's brother's wife is forbidden not only paternally, but even maternal brother? The time like learning the Brisa. It says in Pasuk Miyikra, it says, Ervas Eishas Achicha Loisagali. You should not reveal the nakedness, in other words, to have an intimate relationship with your brother's wife. Now, from there you see, the Brisa says, Beimena Av, Beimena Aim, whether it's a paternal brother or maternal brother's wife. Now, the Brisa says, how do I know that? Ato Eimer, is it really true that you say, maybe it's only a maternal brother's wife? Now, so that the Brisa says, Bedinhu. It's logical to say that, Chayev Kan, Bechayev Bachay. So look, there's a liability here by a brother's wife, and there's a liability by one sister. Just like by one sister, as the Pasuk says explicitly, is both paternally and maternally. Here also, when it's not a sister, but it's a brother's wife, would also be even maternally. The Brisa says, maybe go a different direction. There's a liability here, and by one's aunt. Just like over there, it's only paternally. Maybe here also, by a brother's wife, is only maternally. So the Brisa says, nearly midema. Let's see which one we should compare it to. Don and Kareve Atzmai, we should learn that one's own relative, meaning it when it's his brother, his generations, his brother's wife, Mikareve Atzmai, from his own relationship, meaning his sister. And you can't compare a previous generation, which is one's aunt, which is his father's relative. Or the Brisa says, no, Klachal Derechazu, you can go in a different direction. Don and Davash Ayde Kedushin, maybe you should learn out something that happens through Kedushin, which is his brother's wife, Midavash Ayde Kedushin, from something that happens through Kedushin, which is also his aunt. And therefore you shouldn't learn out from his sister, Shesaba Me'elav, which is an automatic Isser, it happens through birth. So therefore, since you can't learn from either one, so Tamal Leimer, that's what the end of that pasuk that we quoted before by Eishas Ach says, Ervas Achichehu. Which seems like a superfluous part of the pasuk, that it's the nakedness of your brother, which from that extra term, it comes to teach us, whether it's paternal brother or even, that's what the extra part of the pasuk is teaching, even maternally. And therefore, since we know by Eishas Ach that it's even Beimena Av, Beimena Aim, so therefore, Achis Ishtoi, which shares the same characteristics as Eishas Ach, which are Kareve Atzmoi, and that something happens through Kedushin, is also going to be not only Beimena Av, but even Beimena Aim. Now, however, the Gemara asks on this drasha that we see an extra pasuk Ervas Achichahi to teach you that it's even Mina Aim, but maybe not. Maybe these two references of the pasuk that say it's forbidden to marry your brother's wife are both talking about only if it's a paternal brother. So what are these two references to? One is a reference to the brother's wife when there are children and the brother's still alive, which the first chiddush would be that even though she's divorced from him, but since there's children and the brother's still alive, it's going to be forbidden. And the other reference will come to be the second chiddush, is that also when the brother's still alive, and even though there's no children, which Yibam actually permits it when he's dead, but as long as he's still alive, and even though there's no children, it will be forbidden. Maybe that's what the two references are telling you, not to tell you additionally a maternal brother. So I think Mar says you can't say that. Because even Ein La Banim B'chaye Bala, even if you'd say that if the husband's still alive, but even though there's no children, that actually midrav huna nafka. That we know from, as the Gemara had said in the previous daf from Rav Huna, that he interpreted what does it say in the pasuk Eishas Achiv Nidahi. Why does it call a brother's wife a Nida? So on that he says that it's comparing it to a Nida. Just like a Nida, even though there's a heter at a later point in time when she finishes menstruating and she counted the 7 days, but she's forbidden now on the pain of Karis. So to over here by Eishas Ach, even though there's no children, and when he dies, it's going to be permitted to marry her, but now when he's still alive, it's going to be forbidden. So therefore, I wouldn't need the extra reference to tell you Ein la banim, but when he's still alive, if I already know that from Rav Huna that says that, we know that from the comparison to Nidah. But the Gemara still asks, who said it's a reference to maternal brother? Maybe they're both talking about when it's your paternal brother's wife. But chada the yesh la banim b'chayir b'ayla. One is, as we said before, when she has children and he's still alive, but which is the basic prohibition of a brother's wife. V'chada is a different chiddush. The yesh la banim l'achar mises b'ayla is talking about that after he's dead, not like the previous one we wanted to say when he's still alive, because when he's still alive, that we know from comparison to Nida, somewhat that after he's dead, but that he has children. And there's no heter of Yibim. There, that's what the other reference is saying, that it's still going to be Yisra of Eishusach. So that the Gemara says that you can't either say. Because Yesh Labanim La'acha Mises Baila, Tzrich HaKra. You don't need a pasuk to tell you, which would be the extra reference, regarding even though he's dead, if there's children. And the reason is, when the fact that the Torah tells you that when he doesn't have children, then his wife is permitted. But the inference is, but if there are children, then it's going to be forbidden, and therefore I don't need a special pasuk to make that reference. Must be the extra reference is telling you even the maternal brother's wife. And that the Gemara still asks. No, maybe it's not true. Because the Dilma, maybe you would say that ein labanim, when there's no children, then that's what the parasha of Yibin tells you in the Torah, that asur la alma, that then that's what's called yavam la shuk, she's forbidden to everyone else, and vishari la yavam, and then you're right, she's permitted to yavam. But yesh labanim, maybe if he's dead and there are children, maybe that's not telling you that then she's forbidden to the yavam. Rather, they would be saying that she's not only permitted to the yavam, but even shari la alma vishari la yavam. Maybe that then she's permitted to everybody, but not that she's forbidden to the yavam. Or inami, another approach you could say is that you're right, ein labanim, as the Torah tells you, that's when yib mivs, that's when there's a mitzvah commandment. But yesh labanim rishos, maybe when there's children and that he's dead, who said then that it's forbidden of eshesach, that you would know without a pasuk, maybe then it's only that it's voluntary, that it's permitted. Or inam, another approach you could say is that ein labanim in, you're right. The inference from the pasuk would be, and it would sound like you wouldn't need a pasuk to tell you it, would say that because yibim is only when there's no children. And yesh labanim loy, you're right, and when there's children, that then it's not permitted. But still, the only thing you would know from that inference is what's called a v'lav haba machlal aseh. It would just be a negative prohibition that's inferred from a positive commandment. Another Torah tells you, yevam yavi aleho, when do you have that positive commandment? When there's no children. When there's children, then you don't have the positive commandment. But all that is then is that's considered in the category of aseh, of a positive commandment that you would be violating, but there wouldn't be a punishment of karas. And therefore, maybe the extra pasuk would be teaching you that either that it's not just a reshus, that it's an isser, or maybe that it's going to be considered not just a chiv asay that you're violating, but a chiv karas. And therefore, who said you could learn from that extra inference, meaning the second reference to Eishasach, to tell you in the aim, maybe it's coming to teach you regarding yesh labanim, that she has children after her husband died. Because although, even like the third interpretation, that there would be a violation, but all that would be what I say. And we want to teach you that it's even going to be karas. And so who said that's even a maternal brother's wife? Another Gemara says, no, you can't say that, because kasek karachrina, there's another pasuk that says, ervas achiv gila, that if one marries his brother's wife, he has uncovered the nakedness of his brother. Where that's already a reference to if his brother has children after he's dead, and therefore, the pasuk that we have, that we quoted, that is an extra word of erva sachichahi, must be coming to teach you that the isra of eshes ach, a brother's wife, is not just paternally, but even maternally. Now, based on this discussion, the Gemara says the following question. Ve'ema, then you should say also, eshes ach mena'em ke eshes ach mena'av. You just compared a brother's maternal, a man's maternal brother, to his paternal brother. Because he said, just like a paternal brother's wife is forbidden, as Eshesach, so it is a maternal brother. So then you should say even more, you should say, Ma Eshesach Menav, just like a paternal brother's, La'achar Mises by L'Sharya, that his wife, after the husband dies, is permitted, that's the mitzvah of Yibum, Saf Eshesach Menaim, so then also, a maternal brother's wife, La'achar Mises by L'Sharya, after her husband, meaning his brother dies without any children, Sharya should be permitted in Yibum. Now, Rashi brings, although the Gemara and Daf Yud Zayin Mabez tells us that we learn that the word Achim by the brothers of by the sons of Yaakov, and it says Achim by Yibum, that tells us it's paternal, not maternal brothers. And that Rashi says, similar to the discussion that Gemara previously had, you could say that, yes, paternal brother is a commandment, but maternal brother is not aser, that would be a rishos. How do you know that it's still forbidden, even if he dies without any children? On that Amakra, the Pasuk says, he, which was the Pasuk we were quoting before, of Ervas Eishas Achicha Leisagali, you should not have an intimate relation with your brother's wife, Ervas Achicha He, it's the Erva of your brother. Now, as we said before, this was the Pasuk, the extra part of the Pasuk that we learned at Eishas Achim Inoim, a maternal brother's wife. Now, what does the term He mean? Behaviyasa Tehe, that she should always be in that state, meaning the state of being Eishas Achicha, the Erva of being forbidden, is always going to be there, even after the brother dies without any children. That's because the Het of Yibam only applies to a maternal brother, not a maternal brother. Now, the Gemara continues, and since we had been expounding the extra terms Hara in all these different places that we didn't need because we learned it out from Nida, and all these extra psukim, so the Gemara continues on a similar line of questioning. Achaisa de kasa ba karis lamali. Why does the Torah specify the punishment of karis by the erva of one sister? What is that necessary for? If the Pasuk already equates by all Arayas, it sums it up by saying, "B'nichrusu hanafasha salisis." Whoever engages in any one of these illicit relationships, one gets karas. So why is it specified by one sister that this karas? So I think one says, look at Rabbi Yechanan. This teaching the halacha of Rabbi Yechanan. The Rabbi Yechanan, said, "Shem asan kulam behelam aches." Comes to teach you that if one violates all the Arayas in one lapse of awareness, that chayev akol achas va'achas, that he would be liable a separate carbon for each one individually. And that is, had it not written karas specifically by achayis, and it just would have had that one general karas, so I would have thought to say that if you do all the rest in one hell, in one lapse of awareness, that you're only going to be liable for one violation. Now that it's specified by achayis, by a sister, that's what's called, from the Yidgim Amidah Shatern Yudjeshaben, there was something that was included in the general rule, because it was also in that category of karas. Then it was yatsa min haklal. It went out from the general rule to specify something by it. That's what's called a lamed al haklal kulu. That comes to teach you regarding the whole category, to tell you that just like a sister is specific in the sense that it's an erva and one is liable if that's the only one that you do on its own. Also, every erva you're liable for it on its own. And if you do each one is going to bring a separate liability, violation, and not to have one carbon for all of them. Now the Gemara asks, however, Rabbi Yitzchak, the Amar. But according to Rabbi Yitzchak, that he says, Kol chayv krisa b'chlal hayu, he has a different drasha. He says that all those arayos that get a punishment of karas were included in that one category. So he asks the same question. He says, V'lam yatzis ar karas b'chayisai, so why does it specify it? Karas by a sister. So he says, L'dayna b'karas v'loy b'malkit, says that's coming to teach you that actually the only punishment you can get for one sister and all that category is only karas and not malkus. And that is, let's say someone sees someone about to violate the erva of having relations with his sister, and he says that you're going to get malkus if you do this. He actually doesn't get malkus, because this is what's called a lav shenitin las horas karas. It's given over to the ability of being warned for karas. Now, since it's able to get that punishment, so you don't get a lower punishment of malchus. And that's because the punishment of karis that you get for achayse is obviously only if you have a warning for it. And therefore, that means to say that the warning for this is only warnable for karis and not for malchus, as we see that the punishment is karis. And punishment is only if you have a warning. It must be the warning is for karis and not for malchus. And that's what it's coming to teach you, that specifies you're getting karis, only karis, not malchus. That's why it specifies by Chaysai, so therefore the Gemara asks L'chalak Menol on the corner to Rabbi Yitzchak's drasha. So where would you know that each erva would get a separate liability if you can't learn it from a Chaysai, because he's learning a different halacha from a Chaysai, that you only get karas on it and not malkish. So the Gemara says, Nafkala, he actually learns that from a pasuk in V'yikra, Perkit Ches Pasuk Yates, that says, "Me from Ve'el Isha Benidas Tumasa." From that to a woman that's in her state of nidatumah. The pasuk there says, "Leisikrav legal sarvasa." One should not have an intimate relation with a woman that is in the state of nida. Now, why is it used the term isha? L'chayev akol isha v'isha, to make liable every single woman that's mentioned in that parasha where that pasuk of nida was talked about regarding all that rise, that each one is its chiyav b'fnei atzma, its own liability, because it should have just written v'lenida leisikrav. Why does it say vel isha benidas tumas leisikra? The term isha comes to say that every single woman gets her own individual liability. Now the Gemara continues again on the similar theme, talking about these seemingly extra psukim or references that we already would have known. Why does it say it? So the Gemara says deidasa dekasa berachmana aririm yiyu lamali. Why do we need the pasuk by the violation of the erva of one's aunt to say aririm yiyu? Aririm yiyu basically means to say that that's the same punishment as Karis, that he's going to die young and his children are going to die. So we already know it. It's in the category of all the arayos that says they get Karis. Why is it mentioned specifically aririm yiyu by deidasa? So I think what it says, look at the Rabbah, because that teaches the halacha of Rabbah. The Rabbah, Rami Rabbah, actually posed a contradiction. He says, on the one hand, it says, aririm yiyu, that they will be aririm, which, as Rashi explains, that sounds like that at the time of death, meaning ultimately, this person will come to the status of ariri, meaning that if he has children now, that he's not ariri, but he's going to bury them, and then he'll become ariri. That's on the one hand. It says, aririm yiyu, they will become aririm. But there's another passage that says, aririm yemusu, that they will die aririm, which sounds like that only if they're now aririm, that's how they're going to die. And meaning, even if they're born after this, then those children are going to die, because the person right now is aririm, and they're going to stay that way. So that the question is, haketzat. So how do you resolve those two psukim? Is it those that are up until now, or is it only those in the future? So that the Gemara explains, they actually complement each other. Yesh lo bonim, if he has children already, which as we explained, that's the reference of aririm yiyu, they will be aririm, meaning now they're not, but they will be, meaning because now they have children, but soon they won't. So then kaivrin, then you bury them, they die in the person's lifetime. Ein lo bonim, if the person doesn't have any children now, which is what we said the term aririm yemusu sounds like, meaning now they're aririm and they're going to die in that same status. So even though you don't have children now, but haylech ariri, even if you have children at a later point in time, you're still going to die in that childless state, because those new children are going to die before the person dies. Now the Gemara explains this. V'itzrach l'michtav aririm yiyu, we had to say both references, that of aririm yiyu and v'itzrach l'michtav aririm yemusu, as the Gemara explains. Dikas Rahmana aririm yiyu, had the Torah only written that they will be aririm, which sounds like that even if they have children now, but that's going to change. Havamina, I would have thought to interpret this, that ad chatoi, that only up until he sinned, in other words, ultimately they're going to be aririm, meaning that the children that they have now are going to die and they're going to be aririm. Aval, however, at the time of their death, then they're not going to die aririm. In other words, because the children that they're going to have, mechatoi v'eilech, loy, those children are not going to die in their lifetime. It's only those up until now. That what he's now with kids, he's going to lose those kids, but not the new ones after that. So that's what the Pasuk had to say, that no, you're going to die in a childless state. Even children born after this are going to die. And because Rachman Arim Yemusu had it written only Yemusu, so how they mean mechatoi v'eilech, I would have thought only that the children born after this sin, because that's how the Pasuk sounds like, from this that it says, chetam yisau, meaning from that point on, will be aririm yemusu. However, aval, the children that are mi'ikara, that were born before he sinned, that loy, they're not going to die. Tzricha, that's why the Torah had to write, aririm yiyu, that ultimately they're going to become aririm, meaning from the fact that it says aririm yiyu, it sounds like that now they're not aririm, meaning that they do have children. And in spite of that, those children that are even here now will even die at a later point in time. And that's why we needed to say both terminologies, to say whether he has kids or doesn't have kids, whether the kids in the past or the kids in the future, they're all going to die because of the person's sin. That's what we learn from the term aririm yiyu, which we would not have known necessarily from the term of Karis. Now, continuing on the theme of the previous daf, which had been discussing the topic of hara, regarding the initial part of cohabitation, not the full act of Bia. So the Gemara had brought a source for this from what's called Hekesha de Rabbeinu, since by Nida it says a reference of a Ra, and all the rites are compared to Nida. So that's what we know about all Chiv Krisis, which is what that whole parasha is talking about, also is considered Hara will be a violation of that. But now the Gemara asks Hara, the Chiv Alav Menol, and how do you know that even those that are just a negative prohibition, not punishable by the punishment of Karas, are also going to be violating this even with just Hara? So the Gemara says, from the fact that the Torah tells us and reveals, Shech Vazer, it says the term of copulation, laying of seed, Gabi Shevcha Charufa. Now Shevcha Charufa is a non-Jewish maidservant that's halfway owned by her Jewish owner, that's engaged and to an Eved Ivri, to a Jewish slave, meaning a Jewish man that's working for up to 6 years by a Jewish owner, that he's actually permitted to have relations with this non-Jewish maidservant who has somewhat of a Jewish status because she has to keep some of the mitzvahs. As the Pasuk says in Parashat Mishpatim, im adon avyitn lo isha, that if the Jewish slave's Jewish master will give him this non-Jewish maidservant. So on that, actually, a shifcha, a maidservant, is a negative prohibition. As it says, Liyah Kaddish, one's not allowed to have relations with a maidservant. Now, the Torah goes and tells you specifically that you're not going to bring a korban ashram for having relations with a shifcha charufa until you do a complete act of bia, because it says shechva zera, which means to say that it has to be something that is a complete act of cohabitation. Now, mechlal, the inference is, dechiv alavin, that a general negative prohibition, for example, a mamzer or a maidservant that's not charufa, a full-fledged shifcha, is bahara, would be even with hara. In other words, because from the fact that the Torah had to tell you that by shifcha charufa you're going to only be chayv, but when it's a shifcha zera, a full act of bia, must be that other chiv alavin, because this is also chiv alav, are going to be chayiv even just with an act of hara. Now, that the Gemara asks, other rabbi, to the contrary, you could actually learn a chiv alavin, are not going to be chayiv with hara, because min degol rachman hara b'chiv b'krisit, from the fact, as we had learned in the previous stuff, that the Torah had to tell you that those arayis which are liable for karis are liable even with just hara, mechlal, the inference is, the chiv alavin b'gemar bia, that those that are not as stringent, just a negative prohibition, are only going to be liable with a full act of a cohabitation. Because so you have an inference the other way. And the Gemara says, no, Omer Vashi says no. Because in Cain, if that would be the case, to learn out, oh, that, yeah, Bechiv Akris is Hara, but not Bechiv 11, well then, Lishta Krom is Shivcha Charufa. Then the Pasuk should have been quiet and not said anything by Shivcha Charufa. In other words, it shouldn't have said Shechva Zera, which is telling us a Gemara has to be a full Bia, because I would have said, it's just like any chiv alavin, which is what a shivcha charufa is, which is gemar bia. Obviously, that's not the case, that we could actually infer from there that yes, only by shivcha charufa has to be gemar bia, but by other chiv alavin, it's enough just with hara. Now the Gemara continues asking, so you know chiv akrisis, and you know chiv alavin, but hara the chiv alavin to kahuna menalim. How do you know when there's just a negative prohibition of kahuna, that let's say you have a kain hedya to a grusha, that there even hara will be considered a violation of that issa. And as Rashi explains, because you can't learn it out from a shivcha, as we are for regular chiv alavin, because the violations of a kohen is not what's called shava b'koil. And therefore, it's not comparable to shivcha charufa that's equal to all of the Jewish people. Here it's just uniquely for kahanim, who said there even hara is going to be a violation. So the Gemara says, asi kicha kicha. We learn out a comparison of the term kicha, whereby chiv akrisis, it says ish ashayikach, Es achoisa, it says the term taking his sister, and it says by chiv alavin of kahuna lo yikachu. So just like by there by chiv akrisis, hara is a violation. Here also by chiv alavin of kahuna, where it says lo yikachu, is also going to be a violation even just with hara. So the Gemara continues. So we know chiv akrisis that is with hara. We know chiv alavin with hara. We know chiv alavin of kahuna. Now the Gemara says the chiv asay, those that are just a violation of a positive commandment. For example, marrying an Egyptian or an Adoimi that before the third generation from when they joined the Jewish people. Minolan, how do we know that the violation for a Jewish person to have relations with them, which is just a positive commandment violation, that would be even forbidden with hara? As it says, Dershli Shiyava, it says that the third generation can enter the Jewish people, which the inference is not the second one. And as we said, Allah Habo Mechlala say, that comes from the inference of a positive commandment, which says obviously what you cannot do, is only a positive commandment. How do you know that will also be a violation with hara? Nothing more continues on to Amud Beis and says, Asya Bia Bia. We learn it because it says in Devarim Chav Gimel Test that Dar Shlisha Yavai Lehem B'Kal Hashem, that the third generation can be Yavai, can come. And it says Bia by Chiva Lavin, which it says Lo Yove Mamzer, just like over there it's with Hara, here also by Chiva say it's with Hara. Now the Gemara continues asking, Yevama Lashuk, a Yevama, a woman waiting for Yibum, that marries someone not one of her Yavams without Chalitza, Minolan, how do we know that that relationship, with, that if that was with Hara, will be considered like a Gemar Bia and violate that Isser of Yevama Lashuk? So the Gemara responds back to that question. But it's, either way, if it's like the one who says that there's a negative prohibition, as it says in the Pasuk Devarim Chafei, Laisia Eishes Hameis, which is a negative prohibition of Yavama marrying another man, not a Yavam, well then Lav, it's a negative prohibition, and we already learned how Ruach Achiv Alavim. And Ilamanda Maasei, if it's like the one who says it's only a positive commandment that's being violated, as it says, Yavama Yavay Aleha, that only the Yavam can cohabit with her, which that inference is, but not someone else, and a lava bo machlal say is just nasei. And although there's a pasuk that says lo yisia eishes hamesa chutzah, it means to say actually from there that mandam adarshins that lo yisia, that there shouldn't be havaya, which is always a reference to kedushin. Kedushin is not taifis in the yavama l'shuk, and that there shouldn't be havaya to a foreign man. And there's a machlik between Rab and Shmuel later on the tzaddik beis. So either way, it's nasei. So what's the question regarding yavama l'shuk? How do you know that it applies for ra? If it's a lav, it's a lav. It's asay, and we learned already both of those. El Rav, the Gemara says, you're right. The next line of questioning was, Yavama li Yavam in Alam. How do we know that the Yavam acquires the Yavama with an act of Hara, which actually is a discussion that started this all off in our Mishnah, where our Mishnah said that Habal Yavimtoi, one of the ways that we were being Mechadish will be considered a Yibam, is even if it's just Hara, how do you know that? But the Gemara says, Asya Biya, we learn out the term of Yavay Aleho by Yibum, and from the term Bia that says Bechiv Alavin, and just like over there, it's with Hara, here also it's with Hara. Now the Gemara asks, Isha Labala, a woman to her husband, in other words, regarding someone that wants to be Mekadesh with Bia, where there's three ways of making Kedushin, one of them being cohabitation, Minolan, how do we know that the Kedushin will be acquired even just with Hara? Now the Gemara says, Asya Kicha, we learn out the term Kicha, regarding Kedushin, where it says Kikach Ish Isha Bala. And actually, this is where we learn out from the next word of kicha, which is also that we learn out the kedushin of bia. We learn that out from this same comparison of kicha, where it says bechibekris is kicha. Just like over there, it's a reference to an act of bia, and there, as we said, chibekris is that's even with hara. Here also kicha of kedushin, where it says the same term kicha is going to be even with hara. Now the Gemara asks, related to the discussion that we had introduced in Amun Alf of Shechva Zera by Shivcha Harufa, which from that inference we said that Chiv Alavin will be even not with Shechva Zera, meaning even just with Hara. And that the Gemara says, Amar Rava, one of them being this topic, it says, Lama li dekaz rachman is Shechva Zera by Shivcha Harufa? Three questions. Why does it say a copulation of seed A by Shivcha Harufa, which is this halfway maidservant that's engaged to the Ebed Evri? And why does it say Shechva Zera be'eshes ish? Why is it used that term by a married woman, as it says in the pasuk in Vayikra Yitches about Eishes Amischol Isita and Shchaptchol Azara? Why does it say about creating seed if we already have the comparison of Hakesh Rabbi Yonah saying that the violation is even without a full Ma'isabiyah, it's even with Hara? And third of all, why does it say Shech Bezer B'Saita? Why does it say by a woman, a married woman that was secluded with another man, which is forbidden because of the doubt maybe she was intimate with that man, as it says, "Bishochav ish oisa shichva zera," that the man laid with her a copulation of seed. Why does it say that a term shichva zera by all these three places, if, as we said, generally, all these violations are with hara? So that the Gemara says, the first one is the shichva harufa, that's kedamaran, like we had said on Amud Aleph, because actually that's what the pasuk is coming to tell you. Although regarding every act of cohabitation, we consider even hara, the beginning stage, as the Gemara Bia. Here, b'shivcha harufa, the pasuk is telling you explicitly that you need gemar bia and that you will not be liable for malchus just with hara, and therefore to be liable with a carbon ashram with hara. Rather, b'shivcha harufa explicitly we're telling you that you need to have shichva zera, which is what the reference is to gemar bia. Regarding the second one, Rava asked, the eishes ish, where the married woman is liable just with hara. So why does it say shichva zera, term of seed? That's prat l'mishamish meis. It's coming to exclude if someone has relations with a married woman that his member is not erect, which is in the sense of that it's dead, then there it's not fit to create a child. That is, so therefore we're saying that even though with hara you are liable by having relation with a married woman, but if his member is not erect, that will not be a violation of the punishment of Eishes Ish. Now, the Gemara asks, that's hanich leman dam, that's good according to the opinion that's in Masechta Shavuos, that says, Mishamish meis barayis pater. That's according to that opinion that says that if one has relations with an erva and his member is not erect, that he's exempt. So that would fit very well why the Pasuk is telling you that term of seed. According to the opinion that says that you are liable, so what are you going to say? What does the term seed come to tell you? Not to say that when it's not erect that it cannot create a child, because that opinion holds that you are liable. So according to that opinion, it would be coming to exclude if someone has relations with a married woman after that she's dead. And that is the subject. I mean, we would have thought to say, since after her death, she's still called the relative of her husband, and that is as we find by the pasuk, by the kahanim, that they're not allowed to be metamed to people that died, ki im l'sheira, except to his relative, which the Gemara darshins that she'eri zu ish, it's a reference to his wife. So therefore you see that she's called his wife, his relative, even after that she's dead. So therefore I would have thought to say that one should be liable on the erva of a married woman even after she's dead. Kamashman, that's what the pasuk teaches you with shechva zera, the term of seed, to tell you that it's only if this is a type of a relationship that's able to create seed, which is not the case that when she's dead. Now finally, the third one that Ravad asked, the Saita Lamali, why does it say a term of seed by this suspected adulterous married woman? Look at that, like Linda Brysa. It says in the beginning of the Pasuk, V'shachev ish aysa, that if a man lays with her, this married woman, shechva zera, prat ledavar acha, the Brysa says explicitly, it's coming to exclude what? Why does it say this term? It's even with hara, it's coming to exclude something else. Now, the Gemara asks, my davar acha, what does the Brysa mean when it says something else? So, Amar Rav Sheisha says, prat l'shekina la shaloi kedarka. We're talking about a saita. Now, a saita is that is what's called kinoi and stira. There's that he warns her, don't seclude with this man. Then if she secludes, then it's already what's called raklaim ladavar. There's room to assume that something that she had an adulterous relationship with this man. And therefore the whole parasha of saita begins. Now, what Rav Sheisha says, the Braisa is saying, is being excluded from the pasuk when it says Sheikh Bazer in the parasha saita, is that if he warned her regarding having unnatural relations with this man. And that is two interpretations in Rashi. Either that's what he suspected her for having unnatural relations with this man. And he said, don't seclude yourself with that man. And everybody knew what that meant because he didn't suspect her for any other type of natural relations. Or another version of Rashi is that he explicitly warned her. He says, don't have unnatural relations, anal, with this man to have that type of thing. Now, that is what the Pasuk is coming to tell you, that will not have a halachic status of the parasha of Saita in the Torah, because that's not Roy Lazria. It's only in the Mokim of Kedarka where you could create a child. In the unnatural way, you cannot. So that's what the term Sheikh Bazer is coming to exclude. If he warned her, don't have those type of relations with a man, that's not going to be included in the parasha of Saita. Now, that Amalei Rava, but Rava asked on this interpretation of Sheishas, but how could you say that? Mishkevei Ishaksiv. The Pasuk says elsewhere that these are the layings, the relations of a woman, meaning that both types of relations with a woman, both the natural and the unnatural, the different ways of being intimate with a woman, are equated one with the other. As we say, mishkevesha in the plural sense. And therefore, if the woman has been warned regarding this man and is forbidden to him in the parasha of Saita, so why wouldn't it be considered a kinui, even shaloi kedarka? Shaloi kedarka should not be any different than kedarka, as we see that the copulations of a woman are both the same. So hence, if the parasha of a saita applies to kedarka, it should apply to shaloi kedarka too. So you can't say that's what Sheikh Vazir is coming to exclude. So Elam Rabbi, rather Rabbi says a different interpretation. He said, it's prat l'shekina la derech ivar. It's coming to exclude when he warned her, don't have relations with this man through limbs. What that means is that if the man would be rubbing his member with her breasts, and that is he'd be what's called dash mi b'chutz, meaning to say that he would be threshing, he'd be having relations, not inside, but with through the limbs, that's what he's warning. Don't have those type of relations with a man. That's what Sheikh Vazir is coming to exclude, because that's not having the ability of conception. But more than that, it's not even from the Mishka B'Isha. That's the type of warning that's being excluded from Sheikh Vazir. That's not going to be included in the Parashat Sait. Now that, the Gemara asked, Amalei Abaye, Abaye asked to Rava, what do you mean? Pritzusa Asra Achmana? You think the Torah would come to warn you regarding something that's just an inappropriate thing? In other words, obviously that wouldn't be considered kinui, because that's not a bia, that's not cohabitation, it's just pritz, it's something that's immoral, it's not an appropriate thing, but you wouldn't say that the Torah would be warning you regarding that to require an exclusion of Sheikh Vazir. So how could you say that's what Torah is excluding? Of course that wouldn't be included. So Elam Abai, rather Abai says a different interpretation. He says, Prat l'shekinu la b'neshika. It's excluding if he warned her regarding this man that he's suspecting her with, regarding his member kissing the place of where relations are. And that's what the pasuk is telling you, that Sheikh Bazara is saying that wouldn't be considered the parasha of Saita. Now, and that the Gemara asks, Hanich l'man da'ama, that's very good according to the opinion which the Gemara will shortly quote, that says, Ha'ara zu hachnasas atar. Now, what is hara, which we're saying hara is considered for all practical purposes like a regular act of cohabitation? That's the insertion of the corona of the top of the male member. But neshika, just having them touch by the genitals, that wouldn't be considered hara, and that wouldn't create an issur to her husband. So that makes sense that you're saying that wouldn't be considered a warning valid enough to make her into a saita. But elamandam, according to the opinion that says that hara Zunashika, that's even considered if the genitals are just touching. So, Michael Amemo, what are you going to say? How can you say that the pasuk is excluding from Sheikh Vazera if you're just having Nishika's ha'aver, but that's already considered a ra? And a ra, we said, is considered like a Gemar Bia. So, how could that be excluded from the Parashat Saita? So, the Gemara says, Elo'ilam, the truth is, as we have to say, at least according to Manda Omar, that hara is Nishika. As Rav's interpretation was, where he's warning her regarding not to have this priestess type of relationship, not even with having any relation with her genitals, but even just through the Avram, through the limbs. But for Yitzchak, and still we needed to say that would not be considered kinyan and not pashut as Abai had asked on Rav. Because we would have thought to say, that we know what the whole Parashat Saita begins with the particularity of the husband. Because that's what it sounds like. Kino, I'm warning you, I don't want you to have this type of relationship with this man. V'hoka kapit. And he's particular about this. He doesn't want to have even this act of priestess with this other man. Hence, that should create the parasha of Saita. Kamash Malan, that's what the pasuk is teaching. That no, Sheikh Vazir has to have at least an act of cohabitation. And therefore, that's excluding Derech Evar. But Neshika Se'evar, at least according to that mandom, that is hara, that actually would be considered in the parasha of Saita, because that's considered hara, which is considered like a Gemara Bia. Now, the Gemara explains what hara is, which was this machlikis we referred to just before. Amar Shmuel says, hara zu neshika. The beginning act of cohabitation, which we say, and we had all these expositions to say how that's considered like a full act of cohabitation, that's the kissing of the genitals. Now, that's mashal adam shenich etzboy alpiv. That could be compared to a person that puts his finger on his mouth. Now, ef shishalit chakabasa, it's not possible that when you put your finger on your mouth that it won't push in the flesh of the lips. Essentially, that's the same thing that's happening with neshika se'aver, which that is hara, because that's somewhat of the beginning of the act of cohabitation. Similarly, ki asa rabba babachon omer b'yechanon. When Rabbi Abba Chana said, in the name of Rabbi Yechon, he said that, you know what, Gemar Biyah B'Shivcha Charufa? We had a drasha that says, Sheikh Bazera B'Shivcha Charufa, to say that there the violation is only when you have a full act of cohabitation. What is a full act? Zuhachnas is Atara. That's just the insertion of the corona. If you already did that, that's already going to be considered a Gemar Biyah, which you could infer that obviously he holds that just doing the Shika would be already considered Hara'ah, which is like Shmuel's interpretation. Now, this interpretation of Shmuel Rabbi Bechana, the Gemara says, Master Rav Shesha. Rav Shesha asked from the following brisa, a pasuk of a yikra, which is the pasuk toma b'shiv charufa, says that shich vazera, as we said, b'shiv charufa, it says that a copulation of seed. So the brisa says, you know what that means? Ein chayv ela al bias hamirik. So you're only going to be liable for a cohabitation of that is mazriya, that creation of seed. Now, my lav meiragid. Now, what doesn't that sound like? To be a gemar bia, which is what has to be a shev harufa, is that the entire member is cohabiting, and that's something that's a bias hamirik. That's something that could create seed, and therefore you see, not like Rabbi Bachana, that a gemar bia is even just with hachnasa satara. And the gemara says, "Loi, no, mirik atara. The mirik means even just with the top of the member, which is what the atara, the corona, is, and it's not part of the git itself. It's just the flesh on the top." That also would be considered what the Brisa means to say, bias hamirik of shechvah zera. Now, however, ki asur avdimi am Rabbi Yechanan. Now, the Gemara brings many different amaram in the name of Rabbi Yechanan. We had one from Rabbi Bachana. Now, the Gemara says that when Ravdimi came, he said in the name of Rabbi Yechanan. That argues on Shmuel and on Rabbi Bachana. Hara zu hachnasa satar. Hara is actually only with the insertion of the corona. Now, Amrlei, they said to him, but Rabbi Bachana loy amar hachi. He didn't say like you in the name of Rabbi Yechanan. Samahu, he said to them, look, either he's a liar or I'm a liar, but obviously we're both seeing different interpretations in the name of Rabbi Yechanan. Now, however, when Ravin came, he said in the name of Rabbi Yechanan, Haraz Hachnasatar. He also said Haraz only with the Hachnas of that Tar. Now, the Gemara explains, obviously that Ravin's interpretation of Rabbi Yechanan is arguing Rabbi Bachana, because he said Hachnasatar is the Gemara Bia. And here, Rabin's calling it only Hara. But the Gemara asks, Adi Shmuel, on Shmuel who he says that even the Shika is considered Hara, Mi Lema Palik, is that to say that Rabin's version of Rabbi Yechanan argues on Shmuel? In other words, that what would it sound like? Shmuel holds, no, Hachnas Atara is Gemar Bia, because Neshika is Hara. And according to Ravin, Neshika is nothing, because only Hachnas Atara is a Ra. Or maybe the Gemara's question is that no, maybe both of these elements, of Neshika and Hachnas Atara, both according to Ravin and Shmuel, are both considered Hara. I mean, Hara is a long process, which begins with Neshika, all the way through Hachnas Atara. And maybe he just said one, and he said one, and they're not arguing. Meaning, he said that Hachnas Atara is considered Hara, and he said that Neshika is considered Hara, but because they both are. And the Gemara says, you're right, Loi, it's not that they're arguing. Minashika vadachnas atar hara karela. We could say that both Shmuel and Ravin hold that from Neshika through hachnas atar is called hara, and therefore they don't have to argue. However, kiyas Rav Shmuel by Yehuda Amar Biyechanan, when he came and said his version of Biyechanan, he said clearly not like Shmuel. He said hara zu hachnas atar, that yeah, that was the same as what Ravin had said, that hachnas atar is hara. Gemar Bia is Gemar Bia Mamash. And what's a complete act of cohabitation? That's a complete act. We're totally the entire member. Now, on the Gemar Ketiv, but Mekan Ve'elach, meaning lowered down, meaning if one does not have at least Hachnas Atara, that's in El Nashika, so that's just the touching of his Aver and the Mokum of the Isha. And therefore, Upatrala, that's nothing, that's not even Hara, and therefore one is exempt. And this version of Rabbi Yechanan definitely argues on Shmuel, because Shmuel says that Neshika is considered Hara, and we had said before, we include Hara in all liabilities of a Maisa Biyah, and therefore it must be that this version of Rabbi Yechanan definitely argues and considers only Hara with Hachnasas Atara, but less than that, just with Neshika, would not be considered even Hara.